Welcome to Monday Morning Coffee with Inside the Firm. Each week, our hosts will be interviewing local, regional, and national business leaders to give you an inside peek into how they lead their business to success in the ever-competitive business climate.
Welcome to Monday Morning Coffee with Inside the Firm. Today, I have John Odermatt on the podcast. I've been on his podcast before, once or twice, we've known each other for a couple of years now. John is a senior project John is a senior project controls analyst slash risk specialist. I read that off of LinkedIn, John. Fellow podcaster, friend of the show, and most recently the co-founder of Run Your Mouth Coffee alongside his partner, Ben Pange, with the intent to distribute delicious roast-to-order coffee and stand up for uncensored speech. Well, John, welcome to the show.
Lance, thanks for having me, man. Great to be here on Monday Morning Coffee.
Yeah, it's how apt of a name, right? So why don't you, let's kick things off for the audience. It's largely entrepreneurs, business owners that listen to this show. Tell us a little bit more about your ever-growing entrepreneurial endeavors. Where did you get this love of business and entrepreneurship from? Your mom, your dad, where did that come from?
Yeah, I think, I grew up and, you know, as I was growing up, going to school, I was, you know, getting out of bed, waking up early. And I noticed my dad was able to sleep in, and he wouldn't sleep in too late, but he could sleep in till he wanted to, because my dad had his own law firm growing up, and he still does today, although he's winding down operations. But I always noticed that. And, you know, my mom was a teacher growing up and had a very set schedule. And I noticed, you know, my father was able to have more flexibility. And I think that made an impression on me at a very young age, sort of, you know, seeing that I was being forced into this one path, going to school. I didn't have a choice on my time, and seeing, you know, role that my father had developed for himself, where he was able to set his own hours and work the cases he wanted to and do the type of work that he wanted to. And my journey, my entrepreneurial journey, has been one of, you know, some wins, some losses, some frustrations, I'm sure like many. And I am still, like you said at the top of the show, still working in a corporate job, hopefully, and planning to wind out of that, to get out of that this year. You know, that's one of the pieces that I think will help. That is something that we'll be talking about today with Run Your Mouth Coffee. But as you mentioned also, I am a podcaster, and just rebranded my podcast to, it has a little bit more of an entrepreneurial vibe to it. It previously was called Felony Friday and had a, as you know, Lance, 100% focus on the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. Now it's shifted more to a, I'm still going to talk to people who've been through the system, but the focus is going to be more centric on people who have found their freedom in different ways, be it from maybe immigrating to this country and, you know, working up through the business world, or starting a business that way, or maybe all, like the guy I interviewed last week, Casa Marte, did go to prison and come out, and now he has a fitness empire in New York City. So still having that entrepreneurial flavor with a little bit of criminal justice flavor. And yeah, man, trying to grind and trying to control my outputs, control my inputs, and stop working for the man.
I like it. I like it, buddy. That is a cool story about your dad, for sure. I've got to wonder if my children will ever notice anything like that, because I get to do the same. Not that I sleep in, but I get to do what I want. Like lately I've been, I take Wednesdays off and I go fishing. So very cool.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, yeah. tell me about your multiple streams of income a little bit more, if you would. I really like your approach with that. And Alex and I, my co-host, as you know, he and my business partner, we've taken the same approach. Like when we got laid off from the original architecture firms that we worked for, it was, they were standing on one leg, the one leg fell over, boom, you're gone. So is your idea with the same thing, and that is just a more of a stability? And then how do you come up with your ideas for pursuing, you know, your different streams of income? How do they flow into your life? Oh, you got a phone call?
Call coming through. I'm trying to figure out where Skype? It's coming from.
Maybe it's another felon with a business.
I think it's a perfect timing. I think it's someone calling about one of my land deals.
Okay.
I also do land investing, flipping vacant land. And I got one I'm closing on today. So Yeah. So multiple streams of income, the way that I approach it, you know, it's sort of coming together right now at the right time. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think I could, fair to say that I have 4 to 5 streams of income. If we count, my wife and I do network marketing. So if we count each of those as separate streams of income, then I would say we have 5 right now, working on 6, and then eventually, hopefully 7. But I mean, nice. I think in today's world, you know, it's good to have, a central focus and, you know, one of these streams of income after, I mean, right now my central focus is my corporate job. It's my biggest piece of income coming in. So that has to take the most amount of my time. But, you know, I think like anything, 80-20 rule, I think most of your focus is going to be 80% on that, you know, central stream of income, the one that's, you know, paying your bills, that's you, you know, that's giving you the most of your bang for your buck. But I think you need to diversify. And, you know, there's no better example of that than what we've seen in the past, you know, year here with COVID, with lockdowns. People who have small businesses, be it restaurants, bars, or consulting firms, whatever, you know, have seen their businesses just 100% dry up. And if they had all their eggs in one basket with nothing to pivot to, and try to scale up quickly to try to replace that income, they're out of luck. And a lot of people have just sort of been sitting on their hands just waiting. Well, you know, maybe we'll get out of this coronavirus and maybe things will open back up in a couple months. Maybe it won't. You know, maybe stuff's not going to come back like it ever was before. And we're going to see I think in a large part, we're going to see a different landscape, especially, you know, when it comes to small businesses, our you know, local businesses, the, you know, hardware shops and things like that, that are in our neighborhoods. I think a lot of those will never see them again. I think that the way that these lockdowns have been done in a lot of these states, that Walmart and Home Depot and all your major grocery store chains are going to win, and a lot of these other small businesses are going to lose. And not to go off on a rant, but I think it's important for literally everybody to have more than one stream of income. And I think that goes for, you know, people who have a hefty income making working for a corporation and they feel safe. You know, layoffs happen all the time, especially in this climate. So it's never too late and never a bad idea to explore other ways to make money.
But you weren't ever stung from being laid off or anything like that, where and then realize that, okay, now I need to make sure that I'm covering, you know, I know you have a family, I'm covering my family. I'm being as responsible as I possibly can by having like seven streams of income. It wasn't anything like that. It was just kind of having, already had this 40,000 foot perspective. Yeah.
Well, I mean, now you put it that way, I was laid off early in my career when I was working in California at the when the last collapse happened in 2009, and was really taken surprised by being laid off. First time going through that, and hopefully last time ever going through that. Next time, hopefully I'll just walk away. But that probably did make an impression on me. I hate not having control of, you know, my time, of decisions that impact my life to that degree. You know, I picked up and I moved from California back home to where I, you know, grew up in Pennsylvania. So it was a familiar move, but to not have that control really rubs me the wrong way. And I still struggle with that in my, you know, in my corporate job, when we just had a big reorg and, you know, they shift around my roles and responsibilities and stuff like that. And, you know, and having an entrepreneurial mindset and working outside and being able to make decisions on my own and having to sort of default to someone else and just say, okay, yeah, it's what you say, I'll do that. You know, that's rubbed me the wrong way. But I think getting laid off, maybe that did sort of open my eyes to it now that I'm thinking back. So glad you
okay. Okay, good. So I was hoping to pull out of you, John, because I think that I just, people that listen to this podcast, I hope you're listening. If you are in that kind of position, like, use it as an opportunity if you can, and just let that be a fuel in your belly, and make it happen for yourself. So let's get into the coffee store. When you messaged me on LinkedIn, I was a little surprised because I haven't been on social media other than really LinkedIn for the most part for the past couple months. So tell me about the coffee, the Run Your Mouth Coffee store, and what prompted that, especially with Ben. I know who Ben is. I've talked to him multiple times. Why start an online coffee store? Obviously, maybe is it a social distancing thing that prompted that, or where did that come from?
I've always been fascinated by coffee. You know, almost everybody drinks coffee. Almost everybody starts their day drinking coffee. It's something people can unite around. You're not going to get many feisty debates about, you know, people not liking coffee. And it's a very sort of persuasive vehicle. You know, people come together and, you know, have business deals around coffee, form relationships around coffee. So I think it's an integral part to our society. And where it came into wanting to get involved with this, it wasn't necessarily tied to the COVID pandemic, although it was delayed by the COVID pandemic. But Ben and I, you know, had been talking for a little while about doing this, and things sort of came together. And as we were talking, and this was before things really obviously hit the fever pitch towards the end of the Trump administration with, you know, things happening around censorship and Trump being kicked off social media and many people being deplatformed. Although that has been going on to a degree that most people aren't aware of over the past several years. So we didn't time it. I mean, we didn't expect that to happen, but that has sort of put more of a focus on censorship and free speech as a whole. But we kind of developed this idea, you know, what if we, you know, started a drop shipping coffee business? That's what it is. We partner with a roaster out in Temecula, California, and they source coffee beans from all over the world. They bring them in, and once you place an order, it's, you know, our labels and everything go on the bag, but they actually do not roast that order until the order is placed. It's roasted to order. A lot of these coffee beans you buy on Amazon or you buy in your grocery store, they've been roasted days, weeks ago, just sitting there. So, you know, we're guaranteeing that you're going to get those coffee beans at the height of their freshness, just a couple of days after being roasted. And the idea with Run Your Mouth Coffee, which with, you know, centering it around, you know, uncensored speech, is that, you know, in today's society, and this isn't just about, you know, free speech or, you know, government speech, but things have kind of reached a point where in politics, people just, you know, can't really seem to, you can't have a civil conversation anymore. And, you know, people are always trying to block each other out, and we have these echo chambers building up. So the idea is eventually to build up a community, and where people can share their content, share their videos, share their blogs, their vlogs, whatever, with us, and we can give an outlet to individuals on any side who want to speak out on different topics. And, you know, the idea would not be to censor anyone. Of course, we're not going to promote people that are using profanity or things of that nature. We're going to have certain standards of that. Got to defend the brand, but the idea is just to promote uncensored speech. And I think it gets lost on people that the reason we have free speech in this country, the reason we have the First Amendment, is because it's important to have free speech for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is bad ideas need to be heard. Dangerous ideas need to be heard. Because if they're not heard, if they're not put out in the ether, if people can't see them and hear them, then it's very hard to counteract them, very hard to counter them, very hard to shout them down, very hard to put together reasoned opposition and put together a logical rebuttal if that opinion is not put out there. If opinions are suppressed, if they're, you know, pushed into the back channels of society, if they're pushed into, you know, Signal's now a big app that everyone's on. I'm on it. I do a lot of my texting through it. But if you're taking all of, you know, people maybe talking around a certain controversial idea, and if you push that off of like a site like Parler, which was shut down, maybe it'll come back. And if you push that onto an app like Signal, where people are texting back and forth or something like that, then all of a sudden, even if it's a terrible, awful, you know, abhorrent idea, it starts to gain this sort of sense around it that, well, maybe if they're pushing us away, maybe there's something to this. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of helps the people, the leaders of that sector, of that group, to sort of promote around it. And you can really grow hateful ideas by suppressing, I can't speak, by not allowing the speech to come out, by censoring the speech.
Yeah, I agree. I can't remember what podcast I was listening to the other day. I think it was maybe Tom Woods. And one of the statements that really stuck with me regarding all of that was, if the news would just do their job, then it wouldn't give birth to all these other, you know, fringy kind of opinions, and then it gives them legitimacy when the news isn't doing their job. So, yeah, crazy times, weird times. I appreciate you guys' effort with all of this, for sure. So, man, you've already answered. How do you plan to grow the brand starting now? I mean, your social media presence is pretty good, but you know, what are some strategies you guys are working on? And maybe what you're about to do could also help some other people. They could kind of feed off of your idea for how to market stuff right now when, you know, you're not going door to door, right? You're just kind of, a lot of it's digital.
Yeah. I mean, I think the plan to grow the brand is doing what I'm doing right now, going on podcasts, speaking with people like yourself, Lance. And also advertising on podcasts. And, you know, eventually I would like to advertise on this Monday Morning Coffee show here. I think we need to grow up a little bit bigger to be able to communicate with your audience, because I know you have such a big audience here. But we have a couple smaller podcasts that we are going to be running ads on starting this week, and going to be ramping up over the next several weeks on more. Podcasts that, you know, are centered around the ideas of defending free speech, and would like to obviously expand into, you know, podcasts that are centered around entrepreneurship and things like that as well. But it's, I think growing a brand today, and there's kind of two thoughts. There's people who, and maybe this is changing. I think it is changing. I think the old way of thinking about growing a brand was sort of grow your brand and don't tie it to culture, sort of keep that separate. But I think you're seeing that happening with brands being tied to culture in a couple different ways. I think you're seeing it, you know, you saw it happen. If you think back to the summer with Black Lives Matters, a lot of these big corporate brands were, mm-hmm. were jumping on board, you know, the Black Lives Matters, that whole, all the protests, everything that was going on in the summer. And, you know, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that it's happening. So culture, right. I think, is taking a very mainstream role in the way people look at how they buy and where they buy products. You know, in different businesses that I'm involved in, people have reached out to ask about, you know, well, what does this company, yeah, you know, what's their stance on, you know, this or that, or are they aligned with this initiative? So companies, I think, reluctantly are taking stances on this, and you know, maybe it is a bit of a risk to. It's probably not much of a risk to come out and say, you know, yeah, we're in favor of people being able to speak, but it kind of talks to where we are in 2021, that actually might be controversial. That you're starting a coffee brand and saying we are in favor of freedom of speech, of uncensored speech, because there's a fair amount of people out there that are not in favor of uncensored speech and think that it would be beneficial to silence that speech.
Yeah, definitely. I think you have such a unique little niche then that you've carved out for yourself, because now it's all the light bulbs went off in my head as soon as you talked about, you coupled the idea of culture, tying culture in with your product. And then at the same time, you're going to go to the places where culture is talked about a lot with the podcast. Are you having trouble? Has it been pretty successful so far with you trying to book on different podcasts to talk about how you guys will support free speech? I mean, it's just perfect timing.
It's been good so far. And you know, this will be my second or third podcast that I've been on recently speaking about it, but I have three more lined up in the next 2 weeks.
Awesome.
And obviously, you know, as a podcaster, Lance, podcasters are always willing to take your money to run ads if it's a good product, of course. but that's definitely something that's there. It all comes down to, you know, audience size of the podcast and if it's the right match at this point in time. But, you know, I was very, very happy with a lot of the times, you know, I've done things in the past. You know, I sold some hats back in the day, started a business around that, and got almost no traction when I launched my business from friends and family or acquaintances, anyone, you know, making purchases, which, you know, probably tells me it was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But I was very, very, very pleased with the amount of people that, you know, just sending, you know, a quick DM and saying, hey, launching this fresh roasted coffee business that, you know, we're taking a stand for free speech. You know, would you mind supporting us? Really blown away by the amount of people that said, sure, we'd love to do that, and bought a bag of coffee. As someone who's, you know, been in entrepreneurship for a while and has, you know, been ignored for things like that and many times in the past, it was very refreshing to get that. So that gives me a lot of hope for how this will resonate. As we ramp up, February is going to be just an enormous month. We're investing a lot of money in ads. So I think by the end of February, we're going to have a great idea of where we stand and where we need to pivot or expand to.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it all, man. I wish you the most. Are you guys doing any? So I know you and I briefly talked about behind the scenes sponsorships and stuff, but are you guys doing a multi-pronged approach wherein sometimes you'll throw some of your own money at it, obviously, but then are you doing, because we're launching a product, it's going to be called Architect to Builder soon. And what we're doing with that is we're not throwing any money at advertisers. What we're doing is we're doing the same thing as you are. We're mm-hmm. going through the podcast circuit and getting the word out there in our little niche. But are you open to, or have you thought about doing affiliates, right? So you put a banner on the website, or like next week, maybe Monday Morning Coffee reads, hey, you know, and we're just an affiliate. And if we use a certain promo code, then, you know, there's kickback. I don't know the word to use it, or an incentive from there.
Yeah. I mean, we're open to exploring affiliates. I think with where we're at right now, I think it makes more sense for the podcaster to go with the paid ads. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, with coffee, we're not looking at huge margins.
I can't imagine,
So you're looking at, you know, maybe per sale, you know, on the sponsorship side as a podcaster, maybe $3 or $4 a bag of coffee sold.
Yep.
And, you know, the way that I look at it, so we're making an investment up front, and we're, you know, we're buying this time on podcast. You know, you're paying whatever, 10, 20, 30, 40, whatever dollars it is per 1,000 downloads. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's, of course, we're going to, you know, give them a unique promo code and figure out how much traffic we're getting. But there's also the residual traffic of just getting your name out there, getting that brand out there, sort of, you know, somebody who buys it, shares with a friend, and you get word of mouth traffic from that. So I think we'll kind of roll out in phases. I think this first phase is just going to be just, you know, sort of pay to play ads, see where we stand there, kind of gauge how much traffic we're getting. And then maybe go into affiliates. And we also would like to expand, you know, our store to include coffee products, some, you know, higher margin type deals, you know, if you're selling coffee grinders or French presses, things like that, allowing to get that right on the site, you know, maybe doing an upsell after buying a bag of coffee, you can start to get, you know, some bigger margins on that. So maybe once we get into that, that area, maybe it makes more sense for, you know, the podcaster to go the affiliate route. But right now, just selling coffee, I don't think many podcasters will be interested in just doing an affiliate, just to be perfect. I mean, as a podcaster myself,
exactly.
If I didn't have the experience, I probably wouldn't know that. And I'd probably be approaching all these podcasts selling affiliates. Then they'd all be mad at me when they get no money. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, I think you bring up a good point, the profit margin, right? That's really what it comes down to. That's a whole different level of an animal to tackle when it comes to business wise products versus sort of a service based product, or like in the case of Alex and I, the next product we're going to sell is, well, what did the cost for us to do it? Our own time. And I guess we paid Bill a little bit to do some video editing and stuff like that. So it's a totally different animal. One last thing I'd like to ask everybody before we kind of close off the show here and run up on a half hour is, knowing what you know now, and if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your former self before you started your first business?
That's a really good question and a really difficult question. I mean, this is maybe sort of a generic answer, but I think it's so important. And I have to like kick myself every day saying this, just make a decision and go. Like I wasted, and I still waste too much time just weighing decisions and thinking, you know, what should I do this? Should I do that? And days pass or weeks pass. I don't know who said the quote, but it was something to the effect of, you know, a decision made today, the wrong decision made today is more valuable than the right decision made 2 weeks from now or a month from now, because you're losing all that time. And you could have made the wrong decision, learned about it, pivoted back to the right decision. And at that point, you also have the knowledge of the wrong decision. So you're in better shape. I mean, that's, I wasted a lot of time. Like I talked about the online hat store that I had, I wasted time and money and probably drove my wife nuts with that. Still driving her nuts because I have inventory of hats that I got to get rid of.
So I was going to ask, so we probably still got all those hats, huh? That's all right. I like it. Yeah. You got to run with it for sure. John, this is great. Thanks for reaching out again and being on the show. Where can people find and follow you and Run Your Mouth Coffee?
Yeah. Run Your Mouth Coffee is at rymcoffee.com. We have free shipping on all products. So check that out. We're always running different specials for 10% off. And if you don't mind, Lance, should I give a promo code for your listeners?
Yes.
So a promo code that they can use, we'll just do a morning coffee. So you'll get 10% off for morning coffee and free shipping. You can find that at rymcoffee.com. And maybe based off the sales there, maybe we can come in with a affiliate deal. We'll see.
There you go. Everybody who's listening, get yourself some coffee. Don't waste your time. Get running over to that coffee and enjoy it for sure.
Yeah, we have a bourbon barrel age blend that has been the most popular one so far. So they get the beans, they age them in a bourbon barrel for 30 days, and then freshly roast them. So they're all good. We have five different varieties now, but that's a great one. So check that out or check any of them out. Talked about a little bit my podcast. It's called Finding Freedom. It's on the Lions of Liberty podcast network. That's lion, like the animal. So just type Lions of Liberty in your podcatcher app, and Finding Freedom is every Thursday it's published. So it'll be the ones that start with the prefix FF, and then you'll see the title there. The last one I did with Cas Marte, it's labeled something like drug dealer becomes fitness or builds fitness empire, something like that. Great one for entrepreneurs to listen to. You guys really enjoy that. A lot of great takeaways. What else? If you want to check out my land investing business, if you're looking to buy vacant land in Northern California right now, that's at jbwilmatproperties.com. And I think that's it.
Yeah. Link in with John. He's great. It's spelled, his last name is O-D-E-R-M-A-T-T. Not OTT. That I always mess it up, and I apologize for that. John, I wish you nothing but the best. And everybody, do check out a few episodes of John's podcast. What was it again? You changed the name, so I don't want to mess it up.
Finding Freedom. It was previously called Felony Friday.
Yeah. So some of the older episodes too of Felony Friday, man, I used to listen to them with my children. I don't hang out with my kids as much anymore, so that's why I don't. But when I did, and they would have some of the most interesting reactions to the guests that John would interview. And it is family friendly in the sense, like there's some things that get said, but I think you can't shield your children from everything. And the sooner you help them understand the real reality of things like the drug war and how detrimental it is to people in society, and that people just made a mistake. And then they hear these beautiful stories like John was talking about, where they become entrepreneurs, self-betterment and everything. Really one of the best, most interesting podcasts on the planet. I usually can't tell people enough about it once I get into the conversation. So John, it was awesome having you on. Thanks and good luck with everything.
Thank you, Lance.
All right.